From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins. Sitting in today for Tony is Evan Fowler.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Washington Watch. Evan Fowler here from Bot Radio Network, and I'm filling in today for Tony Perkins. We've got a great show lined up for you today. In the first segment, Democratic presidential candidates Kamala Harris and Cory Booker attended services this weekend at Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. That church is led by Pastor Robert Fowler, not related to me, who's called homosexual behavior a sin. And Bernie Sanders held a town hall meeting at that same church last month. Now, by contrast, all three Democratic candidates, and I would guess the other 17, 18, or 19 of them, they all have endorsed homosexual marriage as well as homosexual behavior. In just a moment, I'll be talking with Bishop Harry Jackson, Jr., who serves as the senior pastor at Hope Christian Church. In the second segment, we'll talk about the importance of sending an email to the Health and Human Services Secretary, Alex Azar, affirming the conscience rights of medical providers not to have to provide transgender services or anything related to abortion. We're just 175 emails short of our 20,000 email goal, and we'll tell you how you can participate in that and send an email to get us over the top. I'll be talking with Mary Beth Waddell, Family Research Council's Senior Legislative Assistant, about that topic. We'll learn more about it here shortly. At the bottom of the hour, in light of the Walmart massacre a week ago Saturday that left so far 22 people dead and dozens injured, I'll talk with an El Paso pastor who's making 8 licensed counselors available at no charge to the victims, the family members of victims, and to those who witnessed the horror. And in our final segment, well, Hollywood has decided not to distribute a film called The Hunt. And maybe you've heard about this thing. It's about liberals hunting, quote, deplorables. Well, they're not going to distribute it right now anyway. They've decided they might have that. They're holding the option open for possible later distribution. I'll be talking with Tyler O'Neill, the senior editor of PJ Media, about that one. You won't want to miss it. And we'll also take your calls in that last segment to talk about that. Well, presidential candidates Kamala Harris and Cory Booker attended services this weekend at Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, led by Pastor Robert Fowler, who's called homosexual behavior a sin. And Bernie Sanders held a town hall at that same church last month. All three of these candidates have endorsed homosexual marriage and homosexual behavior. Joining me now for his analysis is Bishop Harry Jackson, Jr. He serves as the senior pastor at Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland. In addition, he serves as the presiding bishop of the International Communion of Evangelical Churches, and he founded the High Impact Leadership Coalition, which is composed of ministers who actively promote socially conservative causes. Bishop Jackson, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Evan. Good to be with you today. Sorry, my friend Tony Perkins is not here.
Well, same here, but I'm glad to be here in his place, and it's good to talk with you again. We haven't chatted for a while. Well, let me ask you, set this up with an initial question. Why would Pastor Fowler, again, not related to me at this, as far as I know, at Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, who holds to the biblical position, and he's made that real clear, that homosexual behavior is sinful, why would he allow Democratic candidates in his pulpit who clearly endorse homosexual behavior?
Well, I think there is a, in his mindset, the separation of church and state, which on this program and networks it's carried on, we don't hold to. He probably thinks, as many African-American and Hispanic pastors do, that we've got to go to with the lesser of two evils in terms of parties, but if there were a real biblical priority of things such as life, sanctity of marriage, the needs to shore up the foundations of our families in real time instead of waiting for the sweet by and by, I think he'd have a different opinion. But I find this inconsistency rampant through my community. And my church is 24 nationalities in it. We have Asians, Blacks, Whites, Hispanics, first generation Africans, but we're majority brown skin. And there is this tendency right now, I think it's a spiritual issue, not a political one, for them to, my constituency in Maryland, to go with Democratic choices and freedoms and the good things that are promised, like free college or this or that, instead of saying, at what price do I want free college? And am I willing to violate something so sacred, such as human life or marriage, in order to get them? So I'm going to be praying for this dear pastor, because it seems like he has been schmookered, deceived, drawn into a whole other arena, and he doesn't really know that he's really wrestling, in a manner of speaking, with doctrines of devils, as the Apostle Paul called it.
Well, apparently what he said was that anybody who's seeking to serve in the highest office of the land is welcome in my church. Now, let me just kind of ask you whether, with what you've just said, in light of what you've just said, do you think it makes any sense to have, candidates from the Democratic Party who clearly are in opposition to the views, the biblical views, with regard to marriage and abortion and everything else? Is it worthwhile to hear from these people and perhaps to be able to tell them what you think or not?
Well, I think it's worthwhile to hear from them if there are boundaries set on the dialogue. I have had events on Martin Luther King Jr. Day quite a few years ago. I brought in Lieutenant Governor at that time, Steele, who was running for Republican, Black Republican, running for U.S. Senate. I also had a county executive who was a Democrat, and we had many people from both sides. Ironically, I got challenged by the IRS for bringing this group together. They said I was patronizing only Republicans, but the truth is that we had a common theme. Like, where does the civil rights movement go from here? We had prayer. We had interaction. What concerns me about this dear pastor, Reverend Robert E. Fowler, is that it seems like he's only leaning toward Democrats and that there's no pushback. Let me say this another way. I believe the church is called to be a prophetic voice, and we are called, Evan, to be a voice of conscience to both Democrats and Republicans. And I am a conservative, but if I were doing something of this magnitude, I would have to talk about and bring some critique to what was being said by these guys, either after they spoke at the event or at another time. And we would pray and talk and make sure we had a Christian foundation for our beliefs.
Well, certainly, and that makes sense. If you're going to invite a candidate in whose views are that divergent, it makes a lot of sense, to sit down and have a forum and maybe challenge them on some of those positions, challenge them to support them whilst sitting inside of a church. Well, this church in Las Vegas is one of the most influential African-American Baptist congregations in the city, if not the most. And this question goes to motive. It appears as though these candidates, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, and Bernie Sanders, may just be wanting to exploit the congregation. What's your take on that?
I think that's it. I think they are exploiting the congregation. Frequently, we have people come. Just this past Sunday, I had a high-level county official come, and we introduced the person. We did not bring them to the platform, did not give them time to speak, talk to them between services, and kind of made our appeal for certain steps of action. This person who showed up happened to be a Democrat. But Democrat or Republican, we typically will not give church time for view a debate is something different. And I think Kamala Harris and others have, and Cory Booker, have used this poor guy. And again, at what price influence? I want to have influence, but I need to make sure that I guard my flock. So we're talking about tradition. We're talking about many, many years of Democratic candidates being welcomed in black pulpits. I think the reverse would be true in some of our white pulpits. So we can't just say the black pastor is wrong because he's opened his door to Democrats. The white pastor has opened their door to Republicans. Is there a difference? I think the only way there's a difference is there is a debriefing or a clear biblical stand that's articulated by the church against which we measure Democrat or Republican. Hopefully I'm making sense to you, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all of the candidates were asked to respond to a request for feedback in light of the church that, you know, the fact that they were in a church that condemns homosexual behavior, which each of them support. And Kamala Harris issued a two-sentence statement. She said, quote, Senator Harris's support and advocacy for LGBTQ equality has been unwavering throughout her career. She'll continue to visit houses of worship across the country to address congregants about the pressing issues we face as a nation. So, Bishop Jackson, once again, does it seem as though Senator Harris is sort of ignoring the church's position just in order to get votes and get in front of those people?
Yeah, she's ignoring it, but I'll repeat something that Jay Sekulow, that famed litigator, shared with me years ago. I was complaining that I was in places on certain forums in which I knew the audience was against me. But he said, you should not be upset that the majority of folks have counter views than yours. You have an opportunity to maybe turn or change the minds of 2%, 5% of the people, and that for you is a victory. So if I were Kamala Harris and others, Cory Booker, I'd be trying to make my way into these bastions of Bible teaching and confuse their people to bring them over to my side if I were them. The pastor, however, should have the boldness to simply say, I am not going to let this be an evangelistic crusade for immorality, for abortion, and other things that we hold as wrong. That's where the pastor messed up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great advice, is you've got to have some balance to it. It's got to be biblical balance. Well, Bishop Jackson, it is so good to talk with you again. Thanks for taking time out of your day to talk with our listeners. We appreciate it. We are listening to Washington Watch, Eben Fowler with Bot Radio Network. I'm filling in today for Tony Perkins. Coming up next, we'll talk about the importance of sending an email to Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, affirming the conscience rights of medical providers not to have to provide transgender services or anything related to abortion. And we'll tell you how to do it. It's an easy thing for you to do, and you can do it this afternoon or this evening. I'll talk with Mary Beth Waddell, Family Research Council's Senior Legislative Assistant.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C., and learn how you can too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Are you looking for timely and honest coverage of the latest news? Do you find it difficult to sort out what is true and what is false from the media? Family Research Council is here to help. FRC President Tony Perkins' daily Washington Update email newsletter addresses the most important current events affecting religious freedom, the protection of life, marriage and family, and more, not only in Washington, but around the world. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from underreported stories about transgender activists' efforts to infiltrate our schools to updates on court cases fighting for religious freedom, parental rights, and the protection of life. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Learn more and subscribe by visiting frc.org/update. Again, that's frc.org/update.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of Washington Watch. Evan Fowler with Bot Radio Network filling in today for Tony Perkins. In late May, back in May, the Department of Health and Human Services proposed a rule that would revise 2016 provisions of Obamacare Section 1557 rule that had redefined discrimination, quote, on the basis of sex, to include gender identity in termination of pregnancy. I don't know how they did that, but apparently they did. At the time, FRC President Tony Perkins said, quote, "We applaud the Department of Health and Human Services for correcting an Obama-era injustice. 3 years ago, the Obama administration issued a rule out of thin air that redefined sex discrimination to include gender identity and pregnancy termination. The courts soon blocked the far-reaching rule that would have mandated federally funded health care providers offer services like sex change operations and even abortion." Joining me now to talk about an important call to action to send an email to HHS Secretary Alex Azar through the TonyPerkins.com website is Mary Beth Waddell. Mary Beth is the Family Research Council's Senior Legislative Assistant. Welcome back, Mary Beth. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Evan.
Well, first of all, could you explain to us what this is all about? Kind of sort out what the rule was and what the change is and why it's important for our listeners to respond.
Absolutely. So the Affordable Care Act, for all of its flaws, actually had a good language initially in its non-discrimination clause. It cited to your standard civil rights laws that understood discrimination on the basis of sex to mean on the basis of being male or female. Well, following that, HHS issued under Obama, issued a regulation saying that, no, this actually means sex discrimination includes discrimination based on termination of pregnancy or discrimination based on gender identity. And as you mentioned, that was quickly enjoined. So that rule has actually never gone into effect. What HHS is trying to do now wouldn't change anything about the status quo. It would maintain the status quo and how sex should be defined. So they're clearing up that language and saying that, no, sex means sex when it comes to the definition of sex. It is your standard biological definition.
We've kind of lost track of that, haven't we, with all the crazy stuff going on?
Oh, absolutely.
So we have to clarify that. Male and female, he created them, right?
Exactly.
That's what we're talking about. Well, all right. So nothing has changed, but it's important. Essentially, is HHS trying to codify this and lock it in? Is that what's going on?
Correct. They're trying to issue a new rule for Section 1557, which is the non-discrimination section, to say that this language does not include these extraneous definitions. Whenever an agency issues a rule, they have a 30 to 60 day window where they request comments from the public on the rule. They say, this is what we're thinking about doing, and we want to hear from you. Is it good or bad, and why?
Okay, we're going to hear hear about how they can hear from us and hear from our listeners here in just a minute, and the mechanics of that, which are pretty simple. But let me flip this around for just a second, and let's say that that the Obama language had gone into effect, and how would it have affected healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, et cetera? What would it have done if the definition was not held to what it is at this point?
Right, you would see. Hospitals and medical professionals being sued for discrimination because they don't want to perform or participate in an abortion. They don't want to take a healthy woman and mutilate her, or a healthy man and mutilate him and change their bodies and get rid of organs that are completely healthy. And they understand that that's actually not good medical science. It's not good medical practice. Just a few weeks ago, there was a woman who actually lost her baby. She presented to the hospital with abdominal pain, but because her records said that she was a man and that she identified as a man, though she was biologically a woman, she was not treated appropriately for complications of pregnancy, and she lost her child.
Wow. That's sad. That is so sad. And, you know, we need to pray for these people who are gender confused. We really do have compassion on them. But here a life was lost because of that confusion, apparently. Well, let's move on. Let's move on for just a second here. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of how you can make a comment, if you will. Since the Family Research Council has promoted the ability to send an email to Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, that's what we're talking about. So far, 19,825 people, that was at last count. Now, hopefully that number's gone up, have already done so. So we're about 175 short. What's the goal of 20,000? Why is that important?
Every comment must be read. That's legally required. And the left and, you know, those who would promote, you know, this leftist LGBT agenda, they are out in full force giving comments. And so whenever HHS gets sued on things like this, or, you know, if they are looking at modifying the final rule before it's finally published, they will take into consideration every comment they get. Mm-hmm. So if they only get comments from the other side and none from us because we're like, oh, this is great, we don't need to comment, then they're not getting the backup they need to help keep this rule good.
Okay, well, let me walk through the mechanics here. So here's how you do it. You go to TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com. And then that will usually redirect you to the page for the radio broadcast. If you scroll down just a little bit, there's a section that talks about today's broadcast. It may be a little bit, a few more minutes before that gets up there, but you can go check it now. And what you're looking for is the episode resources, and that's kind of down on the left-hand side. And there are usually several links for different things that you can look at that relate to the things that we've talked about today, and this is one of those things. So go to TonyPerkins.com, look under Episode Resources, and then you can click the link under the resources that are listed. The letter is already written for you. You can edit it, you can personalize it, and then all you have to do is click Submit. So we made it very, very easy for you. Well, Mary Beth, thanks so much for spending time with us today. We appreciate your participation and letting us know about this as well.
Thank you. Absolutely.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Evan Fowler with Bot Radio Network filling in today for Tony Perkins. Coming up next, in light of the Walmart massacre a week ago Saturday that left 22 people dead and dozens injured, I'll talk with an El Paso pastor who's making things better. They're making licensed counselors available free of charge to the victims, the family members of victims, and to those who witnessed the horror. So stay with us. We'll be right back on Washington Watch. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood was using taxpayer dollars to perform abortions? Recently, the Trump administration made changes to a healthcare policy called Title 10. The changes to this policy now eliminate the loopholes organizations like Planned Parenthood were using to receive taxpayer funding for abortions. Planned Parenthood was hiding behind terms like reproductive health care and services like cancer screenings and contraception distribution, while in reality, they were making money off of abortions. This shift in funding will benefit community health centers that provide needy families with family planning resources and health services, regardless of their ability to pay. It will also benefit pregnancy resource centers that provide care and free resources to women who may be experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. This policy decision is the right move to help and protect American lives. To learn more, visit frc.org/Title 10. That's frc.org/Title 10.
Hi, my name is Bailey. I am serving as an intern at Family Research Council, and it has been a life-changing experience. Interns join FRC's team of experts as they embark upon the mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. The FRC internship is a 12 to 15 week program designed to educate and inspire university students who are passionate about public service and who believe that a biblical worldview is fundamental to the reformation of government and culture. As interns, we receive the opportunity to work alongside and be personally and professionally developed by FRC's team of experts. This paid internship offers free housing in the heart of DC, which allows us to be fully immersed in the fast-paced political climate and to build a community with other faithful conservatives in our nation's capital. For more information and to apply, visit frc.org/internships. That's frc.org/internships.
You're listening to Washington Watch on this Monday afternoon. Eben Fowler with Bot Radio Network filling in for Tony Perkins. Churches in the El Paso, Texas area are giving prayers and counseling and donating blood to help the victims of the recent mass shooting that has so far resulted in 22 deaths in that city. Joining me now is Pastor J.C. Rico of Emmanuel Church, who has made available 8 licensed counselors for free to anyone in need of talking with somebody in the aftermath of this tragedy. Pastor Rico, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon.
So good to have you here today. Well, the El Paso, Texas Walmart is literally 2 minutes away from your church. Where were you when you heard the terrible news that someone was systematically killing Walmart shoppers?
At that moment, I had taken some days off, so my family and I were in San Antonio, Texas, an 8-hour drive from here. But we were alerted, and when we were alerted, I knew that here at our church, which that is our neighborhood Walmart, and it is 2 to 3 minutes away, here at our church we had a cleaning day. So we had parents and members. We have a private Christian school here at the church as well. And we had a work day, and when that was happening, that was my first fear, is if anybody had gone to the Walmart or anything that day, and it was just a scary thought.
Well, I understand that one of your church members had a brother-in-law who was one of the 22 people killed. You'll be preaching the funeral this week, as I understand. Your sermon a week ago Sunday was titled Turning Sorrow into Joy. What was your counsel to the congregation on Sunday?
Well, our counsel is, first of all, leaning on the Word of God for peace, for comfort, and putting ourselves second to the needs of others, especially at this time. Many of the news media and stations and reporters, so forth, they're going to be packing up. And by this week, I'm sure most of them will be gone. And, we just, as a city, as a church, and churches here in this area, we just need to follow up on the ministry that has already started from day one, but really just pour out our love and prayers and counseling to those families that were affected. Just one of our own, one of our members, brother-in-law, was fatally shot and passed away that same day. And there's other churches that had people in the vicinity, some that worked in the Walmart, others that were in the parking lot, and it's just been very devastating. So our ministry is to heal those that are hurting, to to watch over those that have lost family members, and just to start encouraging others and leaning on God's promises of just peace and comfort during this difficult time.
Well, one of your teachers, apparently from the Emanuel School, heard the gunshots and left. Now, I don't know, it doesn't indicate here in my notes whether she was at the Walmart or near, you know, nearby, but she's one of the people who's taken advantage of your offer of free counseling from one of the counselors that you've brought on board. Tell me a little bit about how that affected her, how that experience impacted her.
Yeah, she was at the parking lot, and she was almost getting out of her car when she heard the gunshots, and immediately she entered her vehicle, and that was one of the first ones to be able to leave after hearing that. And then, of course, when she received the news of the fatalities and so forth, she was just so distraught, especially knowing that she was just minutes away from walking into that Walmart. So we had teacher in service last week. Today was the first day of school, and she just was too shaken up to be able to come to the first week. So we've offered free counseling. We've had people walking into her class and asking her every day in need of prayer and so forth. And she's just slowly just coming back to normal. But it was just a very, very impacting situation she was in.
Well, so tell us a little bit about the counselors, where they've come from, and, you know, some of the folks that they've been working with, in addition to the teacher that we just talked about.
Well, we have been blessed here as a church. Of course, we are part of the SBC National, and in our Texas State Association, we're part of the Southern Baptist Texas Convention. And we were blessed that as soon as the news hit the media, right away they sent over some counselors and chaplains and cooks and so forth to this area. They were here by the start of the week, and in those days that they've been here, they've been able to not only go into the hospitals and pray with families, they've been able to go all over the city to area churches in any need that they might have. And they also were at the memorial for several days, just talking to people, offering their support, offering their prayers, and it's just been a blessing. They were here, they shared their testimony yesterday during my service, so it was just a blessing to hear how they are just aware of the situation and just being used by God to minister in this area during this time of need.
That's great. What have some of the other churches in your area done to help in the aftermath of the shooting? And, you know, what kind of communication are you having with other pastors? And I have just about 30 seconds here, Pastor.
Okay, well, so far I've met with several pastors here in the city, and we're all in unity when it comes to we need prayer in our city. And they've offered their areas also for counseling and people that are licensed to be able to counsel as well. So that's been a blessing for all our churches and for the people here.
That's right. And then briefly, you know, what do you think the long-term impact of this is going to be on your congregation and on the city of El Paso?
Well, the long-term impact, I really think it is that we just need to seek God more and more. We just need to know of our assurance with Him and share that with others as well.
Yeah, thank you very much for being on Washington Watch today. Well, coming up next, Hollywood has decided not to distribute a film called The Hunt about liberals hunting deplorables. Not yet, anyway. I'll talk with Tyler O'Neill of PJ Media after this break.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christians' call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C., and I would like to invite you to join my wife, Luana, and I, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Evan Fowler with Bot Radio Network, filling in for Tony Perkins. We're here in our last segment. You're going to have an opportunity to call in and talk about this, well, anything that you heard so far today. But we're going to be talking this segment about a movie that maybe you've heard about, and I can say rest easy for now anyway, Trump supporters. Hollywood has decided not to distribute a film about liberals hunting deplorables, at least not yet, anyway. Seems Hollywood is reserving the right to release it later, however, since the problem with the film has less to do with the content and more to do with the timing in light of the two recent mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. And I tell you what, when I heard about this film, my blood began to boil because, first of all, Hollywood is, and we'll be talking about this here with our guest in just a second, Tyler O'Neill, but I just wanted to say this has got to be one of the stupidest things that Hollywood has ever done. I mean, they do a lot of stupid things, and there are a lot of stupid people who make some really poor decisions. You know, we talk about the violence that we've seen in places like El Paso and Dayton. And then you go to you look at some of the films that Hollywood is producing and the junk and the garbage. And then, you know, if we took their guns away, they wouldn't have anything to do. They couldn't make any films anymore. And that's what we should be doing in this case. We're going to learn more about the content of the film from our guest, Tyler O'Neill. He's the senior editor with PJ Media. Tyler, welcome back to Washington Watch, and help calm me down here a little bit, okay?
Well, I'm not sure I can do that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you would, tell us about The Hunt. For those listeners who have not heard about this deplorable film, I'm going to put the term deplorable on the film because I think it applies to the content. But go ahead, if you would.
That is the way it seems. I mean, a few of my friends on Facebook have suggested, and I think this may not be that off the mark, that the quote-unquote deplorables who are being hunted at the beginning could end up becoming the protagonist, and that it could have a positive spin on the film. But I think what we've definitely heard from a report from the Hollywood Reporter is that there's this group of, you know, liberals who are going out hunting quote-unquote deplorables. One of the characters asked, "Did you just see what our rat effer-in-chief just did?" And then they say, "Nothing better than going out to the manor and slaughtering a dozen deplorables." And there are about a dozen, what are described as MAGA types who wake up in a clearing and realize they're being stalked for sport by elite liberals. Very interesting, though, that Snopes came out and said they attacked a PJ Media article on it for working on quote-unquote unconfirmed details. But if the Hollywood Reporter story is correct, and the Hollywood Reporter didn't issue a retraction, I think Snopes is just trying to be weaken any conservative claims in the situation. And this idea, even if the story ends up being flipped on its head, I think this idea of a hunt where liberals hunt conservatives with guns, you know, for sport, that's disgusting. We really don't need that when you had in, you know, 2012, you had the attack on the Family Research Council, and in 2017, you had James Hodgkinson go and, shoot Steve Scalise and almost kill him. This is a serious issue that needs to not be, you know, broadcast by Hollywood.
Well, as I said before I brought you on the broadcast, I think this has to be one of the most foolish, stupidest things that Hollywood, and again, we're working on whatever with the information that we have, but the premise of this film, especially, well, even without the two shootings, even without El Paso and Dayton in such recent memory, you know, about a week ago, even without that, the whole premise, especially when you consider the broken politics that we have right now, and the hyper ventilating that so many are doing, primarily on the left, it just seems completely inappropriate. And you know, you talk about inciting people to do things. There, you know, the two people that were involved in these shootings in El Paso and Dayton were incited by something or other. We don't know certainly all of the things that were at work there, but a film like this, in my view, could have a very negative and dangerous effect on some people who have a few screws loose or perhaps are already contemplating this thing, in part because of all of the incivility that's going on. What do you think about that? Am I off my rocker?
No, I think you may be very onto something, partially because what we've seen in recent weeks, and I mean, we mentioned, and we should mention and talk about the shootings in El Paso and Dayton. Both of these individuals were, you know, crazed and off their rockers from what I can tell. The media likes to focus on the El Paso shooter echoing Trump. He was also a radical environmentalist. The El Paso shooter was, and the Dayton shooter liked Elizabeth Warren. I don't think that, you know, I don't think either side of politics is immune from some of this disgusting rhetoric. But we also have to be careful that we don't, you know, the El Paso shooter and the Dayton shooter did what they did. They were responsible. Donald Trump and Elizabeth Warren, I don't think, were responsible in these cases. But you also had fairly recently a terrorist attack against an ICE facility where a man went and threw incendiary devices at a facility that housed immigrants. And he had his manifesto, which was talking about the concentration camps rhetoric from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And we have Antifa going around and beating up people like Andy Ngo. This political violence seems almost an epidemic at this point. And the idea that Hollywood would feature a story that has political violence so central to it is just disgusting at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I would also point out, you mentioned Steve Scalise and the shooting that occurred on the baseball field. The fellow that did that was a Bernie Sanders supporter, clearly. So I guess if we're going to blame President Trump for these other two shootings, we can throw Bernie Sanders in there as well. But again, I think that's ludicrous and it's ridiculous. It does not help the discussion whatsoever. Universal Pictures described this film as, quote, bold and visionary. Can you imagine anybody in their right mind producing a film where conservatives hunt down and kill liberals with whom they disagree politically, and then describe that film as bold and visionary. I would think that the media would go ballistic, don't you think?
Yeah. No, I think what we have here is a very clear double standard. Although, to be clear, they weren't saying that the film was visionary, even though I think the way that they used visionary in that case, they were trying to praise the filmmakers, because they said the filmmakers were visionary. But here's the thing. When your statement is, the only reason we're not publishing this is because of right now. You know, they're not distributing the film right now, ostensibly because of the shootings in Dayton and El Paso. And it's like, if that's the only problem that you see with this, and you're also praising the filmmakers as visionary, it's not out of the question for people to go back and say, look, you're trying to salvage this film. You're saying that the filmmakers are visionary. You're suggesting that their results in this case are also worthwhile and good, despite, you know, what we've been seeing in recent years. And this isn't just a El Paso Dayton thing. The political violence has been going on for quite some time, and we've got to be very careful about it.
Yeah, we really do. We don't need to do anything like this to incite further episodes of this nature. I'm talking with Tyler O'Neill, senior editor of PJ Media. Let me put our phone number out there, Tyler, in case we've got listeners who might want to call in and chat with us about this here in the last 10 minutes of our broadcast. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question about this topic. Well, so the hunt clearly sanctions killing Trump supporters. At least that seems to be what the case is. And as you said, one character says, at least the hunt's coming up. Nothing better than going out to the manor and slaughtering a dozen deplorables. I mean, this stuff is really disturbing. And I think they originally had a different title for the film, didn't they? Red State versus Blue State. So I guess they're trying to claim that that's not what they're doing here. But what do you think?
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to know entirely for certain, but what we do know is that these characters at the beginning are out to hunt Trump supporters. That is, you know, that is the scenario that starts at the beginning. And I've heard, you know, unconfirmed reports that maybe, you know, the Trump supporters end up becoming the protagonists and end up prevailing. And there's a description for it that says the hunted becomes the hunter, or the hunter becomes the hunted. And it's like, okay, you could have a reversal like that, but you're still dealing with political violence
right
at the beginning. And you're still dealing with this idea of this hunt where they're going out explicitly to kill deplorables.
Well, and the thing is, and I've had discussions with people about, you know, the different causes of these recent shootings, and, you know, violent video games being one of the possibilities. And people say, oh, no, that's not the case. That doesn't happen at all. And then, you know, you might look at a film like this and say, you know, how would this have any impact on, you know, people making those kinds of decisions? And I just have to say, you know, and I remember John Ashcroft, who used to be our attorney general. He was also the governor in the state of Missouri. I remember something well that he said a number of years ago. We need to be looking for instead of our least and lowest, we should go for the highest and best. And that is in terms of the kinds of entertainment that we expose ourselves to, the kinds of things that we let our kids and grandkids, you know, what we expose them to, all that kind of thing. Well, let me jump to a phone call here. Line 3, Tim in Kansas. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch. Thanks for calling. What's your thought or question?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Sure can. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hollywood movie is terrible. I mean, I think it seems like we're handling it too lightly. I think it's such a serious thing, and the implications behind what could happen, the actions that would follow by some uncontrolled people, I mean, I think we should jump all over it and be, I think it should be almost a criminal offense. I think every conservative should be hollering and, my, I just can't believe that movie, when I heard that, I just can't believe that they would even do that.
Yeah, well,
it's happening
hard. Yeah, it's hard to believe, Tim. And I would agree that that we need to speak up about this kind of thing. Again, as Tyler, as you were saying, we don't know what the end of the film is, but still, just the very premise seems kind of ridiculous. Let's take another call. Line 4, Shane from Lincoln, Nebraska. Shane, thanks for joining Washington Watch. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
What do you think?
Well, it all makes sense if you understand that Chinese communists own Hollywood and have for quite a few years. So then it all makes sense, and it's not crazy.
Well, yeah, I don't know who owns Hollywood. I know that it's very left-leaning, and they're also, Tyler, again, as I said sort of in the intro to this segment, if we're going to have gun control, let's start it in Hollywood, because the folks in Hollywood abuse firearms like nobody I've ever seen. And then they when a shooting like this happens, they turn around and tell us, well, we need gun control. It just seems terribly inconsistent. One more call. Let's talk with John from Plano, Texas, line 2. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you for bringing that to everyone's attention. We really shouldn't be surprised. It's horrific, but it's you have the prerequisite of the movie Purge, so this follows along with that. And as a society, we have no respect for human life anymore. When everybody in New York celebrates the killing of full term babies, why is this anyone surprised that this is happening?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's an abortion connection with the devaluation of life in general. Tyler, any final thoughts here in our last couple of minutes?
Yeah, I think we should be outraged. We should be glad that they pulled it, but we should be worried that they said it's only the time issue, and we need to call them out on it and make sure that it's not just a time issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tyler, I'm going to take one more call here before we end the broadcast. Ryan in Springfield, Missouri, line 3. Ryan, thanks for joining us on Washington Watch today and helping us wrap up the broadcast. What are your thoughts?
Oh, thank you. I was just thinking we do need to fight against it and tell everybody not to go see it if it does end up coming out. But as far as legally trying to get rid of it, I think it's just a slippery slope to hate speech and trying to get rid of everything else that we stand for.
Yeah, I agree. There is a First Amendment. The First Amendment is of course, abused many times. But the reason that we have it is so that people can speak freely. But again, I think, peer pressure, if you will, pressure from folks saying we will not see that. The left is good at shaming conservatives. Maybe it's time to shame them for this deplorable film and deplorable idea. Well, Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media, thanks for joining the program here and helping us out. We appreciate it. And thank you for listening. Once again, you can go to TonyPerkins.com. Going back to sending the information to the Health and Human Services Secretary, go to TonyPerkins.com, look under today's resources, and you'll find the email. This is Evan Fowler sitting in today for Tony Perkins. Glad you came along for the ride here on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.